Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, May 19th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The end of Exodus is creeping up on us. We only have 2 more days in the book of Exodus and then we'll move to Leviticus. Now I know what you're thinking, oh no, Leviticus. We have to remember that all God's Word is profitable, but we are going to do a little bit of a truncated version of Leviticus. So we're going to hit the high points of Leviticus in the coming days. But for today, we're going to read Exodus chapter 40, starting in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 16. The title in my Bible says, Setting Up the Tabernacle. Then the Lord said to Moses, Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the Ark of the Covenant Law in it and shield the Ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand and consecrate them. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments. Anoint him and consecrate him so that he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father, so they may serve me as priest. Their anointing oil will be to a priesthood that will continue throughout their generations. Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. From the Psalms today, we're reading Psalm 143. Verse 8 says this, Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. This is a great verse of the psalm that just reminds us that God has unfailing love for us. His love is never ending, never giving up. And when we put our trust in Him, we can be assured that He will show us the way to go. And because we have such a wonderful Lord and Savior, we can entrust our lives to Him. A Psalm of David. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness, like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. In the New Testament today, we're reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. The title in my Bible says, On Covering the Head in Worship. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him? But that if woman has long hair, it is her glory? For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. Before we move on to prayer, I think we should talk about this passage a little bit. Remember that the context here is that Paul is talking about problems within the gathering. So his main point in this section is that gathering together should build up one another, and it should be a place where people love one another and avoid distractions. So women in their newfound freedom perhaps were coming in with their heads uncovered, which would for modern times maybe be like a married woman never wearing her wedding ring because she doesn't want people to know she's married. I'm not sure if that's an exact correlation, but something like that. I had to go for further help in this passage to one of my best resources from seminary. It's called Introduction to Biblical Interpretation, because we're wanting to interpret this passage and say, okay, is that cultural norm of the veil still relevant today? Should all the women be wearing veils today? Well, I'm going to read a passage to you from this book just to help us a little bit. One of the few things widely agreed on by interpreters is that veils or long hair on women and short hair on men are not universal absolutes. A key to this understanding is Paul's own statement that a woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered might as well shave her head, which is disgrace. These remarks drive the contemporary reader to ask, what is disgraceful about shaved heads among women in Paul's day? Numerous possibilities exist. For Jewish women, shaved heads may have suggested that they were guilty of adultery. For Greco-Roman women, shaved heads may have indicated that they were the more masculine partner in a lesbian relationship. So unless short hair or uncovered heads send similar signals in modern-day cultures, as, for example, in certain parts of the more conservative Islamic world, the specific practice here is irrelevant. On the other hand, any dress or grooming, behavior or conversation that suggest sexual unfaithfulness or deviance should remain as wrong for Christian women today as it was in first century Corinth. We also need to think about the fact that the whole of Scripture has to inform this one passage. It talks about men and long hair and how that is a disgrace to them. But you think about the Nazarite vow. Remember Samson? He had the long hair, and when the hair was cut, then he lost his power. It was this Nazarite vow to the Lord. And so long hair in and of itself is not a disgrace, but something about that culture in Corinth, the long hair signified something. The book that I was reading says the best recent research suggests that long hair, perhaps resembling an external head covering on a man, likely made him appear too much like Roman priest officiating at certain pagan rituals. So if long hair is bound up with this non-Christian religious practice in some modern culture, then it should remain taboo today. But if not, if long hair doesn't signify anything immoral or pagan to us, then we are not bound to this cultural mandate. This is difficult stuff, and that's why we have books on biblical interpretation, but it is important for us to think about which things are cultural bindings and which things are universal. And so that could be a course that Wayne could teach for a semester. Today, we're going to move on to prayer. And as we pray, I just want to ask that the Lord would bless you on this day and give you His peace. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to read your word. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the ways that you guide us. Thank you for the beautiful story of the tabernacle and its construction, and now today, how it was set up. It must have been a glorious experience to see all this work that you had commanded come to fruition. In the Psalms today, Lord, thank you for the reminder that you are unfailing in your love for us. Help us to put our trust in you. Show us the way that we should go, for to you we entrust our lives. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.